everybody, welcome back to another episode of Warped, the Watch and Recap podcast, a side project of Movies Mayhem Soap. I'm your host, Chris, and we're going to continue on with our recap series of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the second MCU television project from Disney Plus. So far, we are loving it. I'm loving it. Unlike some of our guests, some of our co-hosts. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Just a reminder that we always do full spoilers for the episode, as well as, spoilers for the previous episodes. And we try to kind of catch you up on what happened in the previous episodes also, even though that gets a little tiring. So hopefully you're staying current, keeping up with us, or watch it at your leisure, listen to these at your leisure. It's all good. But before we get started with episode 4, entitled The World is Watching, I'm going to go ahead and read the synopsis of the episode, which goes as follows. John Walker loses patience with Sam and Bucky as they learn more about Carly Morgenthau. And, he definitely loses his patience. Some heavy stuff in this episode. Really reflects on some important issues happening in the real world. I don't think we'll get into that too much, but that being said, I just hope everyone out there is being safe and taking care of each other, and hopefully things like this won't be the norm. But that being said, let's just go ahead and carry on with the episode. Here we go. Hi, everybody. We're back with the recap of this episode, episode 4, and I'm joined, as usual, by Selena. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing well, thank you. And also, Franco's here. How's it going?
Franco!
Hi, how's it going, guys? I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Pretty good. I mean, in terms of...
I miss Mitzi.
Yeah, Mitzi's not here tonight. She's out celebrating her freedom from the podcast, I guess. No, it's
great. I think Franco wants to kick her out of the group. I could be wrong.
No, nah. I think she actually wants to kick herself out of the group, to be honest.
No one's getting kicked out. Nobody loved that text. I said what I said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, when I talked to her a few days ago, she actually said that she's not digging this series so much, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Yeah, hot take. But she also said that she hadn't seen episode 3 or 4.
So, okay. So, well, to be fair, this isn't the only thing we're going to be covering. We are going to jump to something else next.
Yeah,
Jumping to Loki next, aren't we?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I don't know when it's set to start, so we might have a few weeks
June off. Something, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we might have a whole month off, actually. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that's fine. It's not a problem. We won't have to go back to the Big Bang Theory. But... I'd rather not.
Okay, we'll talk more on that later.
Oh, yeah. But I urge you to watch the last two episodes because they are really good. I don't know if she did watch them. If maybe that's why she just decided not to join tonight. Maybe she hadn't seen them yet. But this was a really good episode. Pretty intense.
It left me sad.
Yeah.
It was just that ending was so dark.
Oh, hell yeah. And it's all on, this is on Disney Plus?
I mean, obviously it's good that certain things were implied in the end, cutaway shots, but I was just like, oh my God, you know what I mean? It's going down like that.
Yeah. Franco, any thoughts before we get started? Overall thoughts?
You know what? Like it was really dark. It didn't help that I'm also watching that Mighty Ducks show, and it's super easy. It is like super family oriented.
Uh-huh. Oh, so
it was fucking dark going from one to the other.
You should have started with Falcon and then went to Mighty Ducks, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, man.
I should have. Yeah. So I started watching Mighty Ducks, and then I went to this, and I was left speechless for a good couple minutes. It was really, really good. It was really good, though. I was digging.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that Mighty Ducks a week by week thing, or is it all binging?
No, it is also week by week, but yeah.
Okay.
You know, not going too much detail. It's its own thing. It's a little family oriented, so it is what it is.
Okay.
Okay.
No. I really love the first two movies, so I'm kind of curious about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least the first. I remember I liked the first one movie. I never saw the third, and I didn't care for the second. But
yeah, the third didn't interest me. But oh, really? Okay. Anyway.
But I might watch. I might watch the series if people are getting beheaded at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I don't know.
I will warn you, though. It is kind of corny. So I mean, that's
what I'm saying. Yeah.
Hey man, that's my wheelhouse.
The movie itself. Yeah.
Yeah, it was true. Okay, cool. So we'll go ahead and get started with this episode. We start off in Wakanda.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, we did. Technically, we did. You're right.
I guess like the outskirts of out in the sticks. You didn't really
get to see. Yeah, I know. It was like a bonfire. It was hardly Wakanda.
But it was It was in Wakanda. Yeah, the country.
But it was
of Wakanda.
In Wakanda.
Yeah.
You're right.
It wasn't in the palace or the city or whatever. It was out where we last saw Bucky at the end of Black Panther, living out in a hut. And this is set 6 years ago. It's before the blip. And Io and Bucky are going through the Winter Soldier trigger words. And he's afraid that he's gonna not be able to resist it. And as she's going through it, she's reciting them in Russian, and he starts seeing flashbacks of his Winter Soldier days. We see clips from the old movies, and he's really fighting it. And at the end, yeah, like you see tears coming down his face, and at first it seems like he's just really too afraid, and then they turn into tears of joy, and it's a beautiful moment when Io tells him that he says, "You are free," and I had been seeing a lot of clips from or at least posts on things where Sebastian Stan was saying that people always go up to him and they try reciting the words to see if they can activate the Winter Soldier. So I'm sure he's glad that now that he's been deactivated, people will hopefully leave him the fuck alone, you know? So that must have been a cool moment for him to finally get this out there. But I'm sure people are still going to be doing it because people are just the worst.
Yeah.
Don't act like you wouldn't do it, Selena. You would go up to him and totally start doing the words.
No! No, I'd go up to him and be like, "Hi, how are you? Let's date sometime." I'm kidding.
And then he would...
Especially if he had his long Winter Soldier hair.
Oh. Yeah. And then he would punch you in the face. What's up?
Yeah.
Wow.
It is kind of funny though, because it's like even for a while. Remember when that whole Wakanda Forever took off?
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
I forgot his name, but even he seemed annoyed.
Like, oh, Chadwick
Boseman. Yeah, he
annoyed for a while because everybody was doing it, and he kind of seemed annoyed that everybody was coming up to him and with the whole Wakanda Forever.
Mm-hmm.
So us as fans, we kind of tend to take everything to the 10th power.
Yeah, and I think I saw a photo of him like doing it with kids. Like I don't know where I read it, but I think I read somewhere that someone, it might have been him. I don't know who exactly it was, but that when kids come up to him and do it, that he was always happy to do it. But when grown-ups would do it, he was kind of like, oh, okay, never mind. Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Like,
it's
totally fine. Oh, okay, sorry, Selena. So then after that, we go ahead and cut to the quote unquote present, and back in Riga where we left the boys at the end of the other episode, and Io is confronting Bucky in the alley, and
where is Zemo?
Yeah, she's asking where's Zemo, and she's shaming him for helping Zemo escape after all he did, And after all he did to Wakanda, and after all they did for Bucky, like, you know, why is Bucky doing this? And Bucky tells her that Zemo is a means to an end, and she gives him 8 hours to do whatever he's got to do with him, and they're going to come back for Zemo. So then Bucky goes and he rejoins Sam and Zemo at some fancy apartment that I guess Zemo has. And he tells them that the Dora Milaje are coming for him. And so they find out on the news that Carly Morgenthau, that she bombed a GRC depot, and that there's 11 injured and 3 dead. And so Zemo asks if Sam and Bucky, he doesn't say it outright, but he basically tells them, like, are you guys going to be willing to kill her? Because I know I am. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this mission done. And that's when Sam's just like, no, well, she's just like a kid. And Zemo's, you know, telling him, like, no, she's dangerous because she's a supremacist. And he goes into this little speech that I wrote. Not speech, but he says, the concept of a super soldier will always trouble people. It's that warped aspiration that led to Nazis, to Ultron, and to the Avengers. And then that's when Sam says, hey, whoa, those are our friends you're talking about. And Bucky's like, the Avengers, not the Nazis. Which was a great line.
I know, I love that he wanted to specify that.
Yeah. It shows that to Zemo, the Avengers are just as bad as the Nazis, which is pretty terrible. I also heard somewhere that, or saw recently online, that in the comics, Baron Zemo actually was a Nazi. But I think they were saying that things inside that apartment kind of indicate that he might be of Jewish origin for this take on the character. So maybe that's, they're kind of retconning it to, like, show why he's so against, you know, powerful authority kind of, well, supremacists, basically. So Sam says that he wants a peaceful solution, and, you know, Zemo says that the only way that they're going to end it is by killing her, or she kills them. And Sam rationalizes that Donya Madani, which we saw in the last episode was Carly's motherly figure, that they're going to be having, most likely going to be having a memorial service for her. And so if they find out where that is, where and when it is, they can find Carly. And so that's what they set out to do. And later on, in a Flag Smasher camp. Flag Smasher. I thought I said it wrong again. But Flag Smasher camp.
Face Smasher.
Yeah, Face Smasher camp. They're listening to the news, and there's a report that the GRC, which is, I don't know if I have to explain again what they are for listeners who might not be caught up. They're this the Global Repatriation Council, which is trying to reorient people who reappeared from the blip. They're trying to get them back into society and restore normalcy. And they're a shady organization, I think, that John Walker is working for. And so anyway, so they're calling.
Well,
what's up?
I was gonna say, based on what Carly said, it's just, they essentially, they kind of are taking people that weren't displaced and making them displaced and kicking them out of countries that they were seeking refuge in.
Yeah, they're giving priority to people that reappeared. But as a result of the terrorist bombing that Carly did at the end of last episode, which we said left 3 dead, the GRC was drafting legislation called the Patch Act in order to restore border regulations and some normalcy. And so that kind of hinders the Flag Smasher's agenda, because, you know, that's obviously having the opposite effect of what they wanted. The news report also says that the attack has also drawn attention and support to the Flag Smasher cause. So they're getting support, and I guess that's good for them. So later on, Zemo and Sam and Bucky they get to the refugee center, where Donya Madani where she passed away, and they're asking about her, and everyone's avoiding Sam's questioning, and a volunteer says that they don't trust anyone who offers help, because the GRC actually promised supplies and resources over 6 months ago, but they hadn't done anything about it. And so over in Sam's separate from Bucky and Zemo. And Zemo is singing Baba Black Sheep.
Baba Black Sheep.
Yeah. And he offers some candy to the children. And it's Turkish Delight, which he says was his son's favorite. And that kind of reminded me, like, oh, yeah, this guy's family died. Like, it kind of sucks. He had a son and a wife, and I think his father also died at the end of Ultron or whatever. Or that we didn't see them there. But, yeah, anyways, I totally forgot that this guy had a family and that's his whole...
That was his whole thing in Civil War.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was his whole motivation.
He lost everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a... Not a shock, but... A rude awakening, I guess.
A reminder.
Where I was like, oh shit, yeah. Exactly. And
also, real fast, I thought it was really interesting. Like any room Sam went into, people just got up and walked away, just very quietly.
Yeah.
And I was just like, do they know who he is, and they just don't trust Avengers, or what? And the guy did say at the end of it, like, I know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, just being recognized as an Avenger, kind of. Made people not want to talk to him or whatever.
Real fast too, to interject. I think I'm a little confused with the timeline of all this, because I'm like, wait a minute, when did the blip start and when did the blip end? Because there was something that I saw like that was dated 6 years ago, and I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't seem right.
The very beginning scene in Wakanda was 6 years ago. I guess set around the time that the Black Panther movie would have happened.
Wait, so I guess my question is, did the blip really end in 2019 or did it end in 2018 and therefore it would have been...
Right.
Do you know what I mean? That's what I mean.
I don't know.
Do you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't know either. Yeah.
Okay, I guess I could Google this too. I just was trying to see if you guys knew.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah.
I'll check.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, earlier that's why I said present. I think I put it in air quotes. I don't know. I don't know if listeners caught that, but I said back in present day, because whenever that
quote
is.
Quote unquote.
Yeah, quote unquote. So then, yeah, Zemo asks a little girl about Danya Madani's funeral service. And she tells him, and, you know, he says, like, let's just keep this between us. And Sam and Bucky are at a distance, and they're watching him suspiciously. So they go back to Zemo's pad, and Sam he's basically sympathizing with Carly. And, he says that during the blip, the world came together to rebuild, and that Carly just wants to restore that, to get back to that. And Zemo tells him that the funeral is that afternoon. But he won't give up where yet. And so Bucky gets in his face and he's challenging him. And that's when Sam says, don't get him riled up or he's just going to do that stupid head tilt thing. And Zemo's head, sure enough, is tilted. And he kind of looks like, oh, shit. And he puts himself upright. That was kind of cool. Sam calls Sharon Carter and he asks... she's still in Madripoor on the run because she's disbanded from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Because she still has people working for her.
Yeah, she's still a person with a high authority and resources because she even says that that she has some satellites at her disposal Sam asks her to keep an eye on the refugee camp, and she tells him that the power broker is actually flipping out over, Nagel's death. Nagel being the scientist that Zemo killed in the last episode who rebuilt the super serum. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And at a cemetery, Carly and this other flag smasher, they go and they pull the serum out from under a stone step. And, I didn't write all this note down. I wrote Carly... asks if and that's all it says. I think she said something like, is all this, if they think they're doing the right thing. And so the guy starts saying about how, I guess in respect to what the bombing of the other building. And the guy is talking about how when he was a kid, he was a Captain America fan. and because that Captain America made him believe that they were decent people, and that nowadays people they need a leader that knows that they don't have the luxury of keeping their hands dirty, hands clean, and that Carly is that leader who can get those things done for the good cause, right? And she says that the shield and what it stands for should be destroyed, referencing Captain America. And it's the same thing Sam said at the end, or at some point in the last episode, that he wants to destroy the shield also. And then we cut to back in Riga. John Walker and Lamar they show up in full uniform, talking to Sam and Bucky about how easy it is to track down two Avengers, because they're just, so easy to spot. But these assholes are just in full costume. It's kind of ironic.
Yeah, and then they're just kind of super pissed that, Zemo's with them and they broke him out or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And go ahead. What were you going to say?
I think what I'm seeing here, because it's not super definitive, but it looks like the blip started in 2014, therefore ended in 2019.
Okay.
Yeah. Listeners, if you find out differently, please write to us or let us know.
Nobody listens. But okay.
Aw, that's not true.
Kevin Feige, reach out. Let us know what's up. So he's saying, why'd you help Zemo escape? And Zemo steps up and he's just like, he says that he knows where Carly Morgenthau is, and that, and then so John Walker just wants to go in guns blazing, basically. And Sam says that he wants to talk to her. And so, he reminds us that he used to counsel soldiers, which is when we first met him in The Winter Soldier. That's what he was doing. He was counseling. He's kind of a support group. There you go. He was doing a support group. And Lamar agrees, and he tries to get John to calm down. And he says it's worth a try if Sam can talk some sense into her. And so Zemo, he goes and he finds the little girl again. He gives her some money, and she leads the way. And I don't know if I established that Zemo didn't want to give them everything, because that's the only reason they're keeping him around is because of what he knows. Otherwise, they would have just given him
leverage.
Over. Yeah, they would have given him over to the Dora Milaje, or I don't think they would have given him to John Walker, though. Do you think they would have given him to John Walker?
They would have given Zemo. No, I think they would have made him go back to the prison.
Yeah, I think they would have more likely handed him over to the Dora Milaje if they didn't need him.
And then
they're in some factory, maybe like, I don't know, a textile thing, and Zemo is restrained against like a furnace, and they say that they're gonna give Sam 10 minutes to go do his thing, talk to Carly, de-escalate the situation. And in another part of the factory, Carly is giving a eulogy for Donnie and Badani, and she sees Sam, and that's kind of gets her more riled up, and that's when she kind of starts doing a call to action, saying that the struggle is what brings everyone together. When all the crowd is gone, Sam comes down and he says he's alone, and that he says that there doesn't have to be a war, and that he understands her frustration and helplessness, and that it's not a better world if she's just going around killing people. And meanwhile, over in the other part of the factory, in the boiler room or whatever, John Walker is getting noticeably restless, and you can tell that he's not used to not being the guy in control. Like he doesn't like taking orders, and so he's just like, we gotta go in there, we gotta do it. And Bucky holds him back. And then he tells Bucky like that Sam's blood will be on his hands if they don't go in there and help him. And I guess this works because we don't immediately see the result of that, but whatever, I guess it worked.
Or he pushed through, yeah.
Yeah, or maybe he pushed through, but it doesn't really seem like it when they enter in the next scene. But yeah, we see Sam doing his thing, and it is awesome the way he's just talking to her, and he, you know, I'm just like, Sam's a total badass, man, because he's just being
he knows
cool
how to talk to her.
Yeah, he's just being casual. Yeah. He's not confronting her. You know, he's trying to make her see that that she's leaning towards supremacy by building an army and killing innocent people. And like I said, he's not accusing her, but he's just trying to make her see that maybe she's a little misguided. And mm-hmm. it does seem like he's breaking through, and because even she's just like, no, that's not what I'm about, and stuff. And she's trying to, like, come to terms with it. And she even knows about Sam's problem with the bank, which I thought was kind of weird. I don't know
yeah.
how. Yeah, how did they... I mean, they're always on the run. I guess maybe a few of them are hackers or something. I don't know how they're getting all this information. Because later on, they have some very important information also. That I don't
well think she was able to get a hold of you know who mm-hmm. so maybe it's no surprise she was able to look at Sam's phone and see like a conversation or something.
True. And even if they are on the run, yeah. they do have a lot of loyal followers, so I guess people that are willing to help them with whatever. And I guess if that includes, you know, some personal info on the Avengers, then they you know, here you go.
Well, yeah, because anybody who's a threat to them, they need to be aware, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And she, you know, she asks him, like, why are you okay with, you know, these big corporations just pushing you around? You know, a bigger entity just, you know, bossing you around and taking away things that you are rightfully yours, you know? And he says he understands her, but that he can't agree with how she's fighting against it. And that's when John Walker just comes in hot. And he Carly accuses Sam of stalling until backup arrives, and then there's a tussle, and she escapes, and they lose her as she runs through the factory, and we see there's a quick cut back to the boiler room where there's just an empty handcuff, so Zemo's escaped, and so he ends up cornering her in some other part of the factory, and he shoots her in the gut. And she drops the serum, and, you know, she's hiding, so, but he has a gun, and they're not bulletproof, as we've seen in previous episodes. So she doesn't come out to come get the vials, and he just destroys them, and she runs off, and then John Walker bashes Zemo's head in. Well, not, I guess he doesn't bash his head in, but he hits him in the side of the head with the shield, which was fucking intense. I thought for sure that would kill the guy, but no, I guess not. That was pretty crazy, though. And go for Franco.
No, you know what? Like, I thought that the whole scene was kind of interesting because mm-hmm. it was, I don't know, for some reason, I thought that Zemo was going to, like keep one or, like, you know, like the yeah. like one of the vibes or something. Because, I mean, we know that he's one
oh,
of those
yeah.
our guys or something. But, mm-hmm. like, I don't know. Because, I mean, I'm still kind of within that notion of, like, Zemo's up to something.
Yeah.
So yeah, when I saw the vials and he got the little smirk when he saw him, I was just kind of like, oh, this is it. Like, you know, this is going to be kind of his plan. Like, he's going to take one or whatever. And
yeah,
when he started bashing him, I was just kind of like, oh, okay. Like, caught me by surprise a little bit.
So. No, yeah, me too. Like, I for yeah. sure. Go for it, Selena. What are you
saying? No, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure there wasn't a cutaway shot or anything like that. I really thought he was going to take some for himself, but when he started smashing it, I was like, oh
yeah, no,
okay, he's going a different route here.
I for sure thought, like, oh shit, this guy's gonna take it, like, mm-hmm. he's gonna decide to fight fire with fire, and like the only way he can stand up against him is if he's super powered too. But no, man, I was actually pretty impressed by the restraint he showed by just getting rid of it and destroying it and just deciding that nobody can have it. And
yeah.
But I really would have preferred if he got the serum than John Walker getting it.
John Walker? For sure. I know!
When that motherfucker finds that one last vial, I was just like, God damn it.
I know.
And I kind of knew it was coming because, like I said, in the comic books, he does get power from the power broker. He finds it and he just... he's staring at it in wonder, and you can tell, like... it's too tempting for him, and then he pockets it before anyone can show up. So then later on, Carly, she's patched up from her wound, getting shot, and she gets a message from the power broker demanding the serum back or else. And then she says, you know, that they'll handle him later, but that for now they need to... Oh, yeah, because one of the other Flag Smashers is saying, we can't fight two wars at the same time. But they said, you know, we'll deal with him later. For now, we need to split up the other team. So we have 10 minutes.
Yeah, she essentially split up Bucky and Sam.
And that way they can kill John Walker. They need to get him on his own to kill him. And so over at Zemo's, I wrote down Chateau, but I don't think that's right. But it looks like it's just a fancy apartment, really. they're back there, and Sam, he's sending a message to Sharon to keep an eye on John Walker and see if he makes a move on Carly. And Zemo is over on the couch, and he's asking Sam if he would take the super soldier serum. And Sam says no, and Zemo is very impressed with his lack of hesitation, his determination in that. There's another word I'm trying to think of, but I can't think of. So he tells Sam not to keep faith in Carly, and that, no, sorry, Sam reminds Zemo that Bucky also has the serum, so it can't be all that bad. It can't corrupt too... It won't corrupt everyone, you know? And
He argued that Steve Rogers had the serum, and look, Steve Rogers was still able to stay Steve Rogers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the earlier scenes, and that's when he says, but there's only been one. But in this scene, Sam reminds him that Bucky has had it, and that even though he was using it for bad, against his will, you know, he eventually overcame that and doesn't abuse it, you know?
Right.
And then so that's when John Walker comes in again, and he's just like, we're gonna take Zemo away. And Sam says that, you know, Zemo's actually been pretty useful, and that John Walker has not. He's all like, you're fucking it up, man. And John Walker, I don't know why I keep saying John Walker. John steps,
because you don't want to say Captain America.
I do not want to. There is a part where they refer to him.
I don't want you to either.
As
he's not our Captain America.
Yeah, no. you know, he steps to Sam, and they are interrupted by a vibranium spear that comes out of nowhere, hits the wall, and three of the Dora Milaje they enter, and they demand Zemo. So John Walker, you know, he's trying to talk down to them, and he's all like, this is out of your jurisdiction. And that's when they deliver this badass line: the Dora Milaje have jurisdiction wherever the Dora Milaje find themselves to be. And I was just like, wow, damn, that's a pretty badass way of saying we got diplomatic immunity. Nah. And John Walker, you know, he oversteps, puts his hand on one of their shoulders, and they just unleash hell on him. And it's pretty badass. They really kick the shit out of this guy. And Sam and Bucky, they're just watching, so amused. Until
didn't even Sam say, like, oh, you don't want to go against the Dora Milaje.
Yeah, that's exactly what he warned them before he stepped towards them.
Approached them, yeah.
Yeah, approached them. And it's only until, there's a scene where they're watching, and Bucky's all like, you're looking good, John. He's getting his ass kicked. But it's only until the Dora Milaje are going to stab them, John Walker and Lamar, that Sam and Bucky step in and, you know, try to stop them. And while this is going on, Zemo slips out unnoticed, locks himself in the restroom, and Io disables Bucky's arm by, like, I guess just hitting it.
That's a little bit dark, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you kind of understand why they would kind of put that on there in case they couldn't fix his mind, right? Or
I guess. Just like her just taking his arm away like that. It was, there's something a little dark about it. Like, you know, she was capable of doing it and she did it.
Yeah. But
I think more than anything, I think I kind of see where you're coming from, because it's kind of like, it kind of felt like a sense of betrayal in a sense, because it almost kind of like that, like, oh, I thought you, it's kind of one of those things that is like, oh, I thought we were friends in a sense.
Yeah.
And you kind of like just disarm me like that. Like it was
like,
just,
you're like, it's an Achilles heel and you knew you were hitting a weak spot. Kind of like that. Yeah.
now without his arm, he's kind of like useless. So it's kind of like, so I don't, it was kind of, it was interesting. So I kind of like, can I get what you said? It was just, because even he kind of referenced it that after a while, he's like, I didn't even know that they could do that. Like his arm could come off. So,
so
he was like, oh.
No, I understand. I did feel for Bucky because when it happens, he looks so, betrayed. He feels so, he looks sad. Like, and I felt bad for him. But yeah, I mean, I kind of see it from their perspective too. Like, you know, Bucky kind of betrayed, no, he didn't betray them, but, you know, he.
You're harboring somebody they want to kill.
Yeah, he's kind of not doing, not respecting their wishes also. But. I think it was just kind of just like a power move. It's kind of just like, look, we can fuck you up if we had to. Don't mess with us. And I don't know. I guess I understand both parts. I didn't think they did anything terrible.
I think the removal of Bucky's arm is going to come up in a later episode.
Oh.
I'm not sure how, but I have a feeling we're going to see something like that again.
Oh, maybe. That might be interesting. Maybe he'll do it himself for some reason.
We'll see.
And then she... Oh, yeah. And so I was listening to another recap or review podcast about it. And they were saying that now people, whenever they see Sebastian Stan, they're going to go up to him and try to disable his arm. Or something. Instead of doing the words, they're just going to be like, now let's see if this arm comes off.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. And so then the fight ends when Io goes and sees that Zemo is gone. There's a hole in the ground where the tub has been moved, and he slipped away under into the sewer. And so the Dora Milaje leave, and John Walker, he's just there. He's nursing his bruised ego, and he's all like, they weren't even super soldiers. And man, what a bitch, right? And so... Later on, Lamar and John Walker are in the food court, and John's asking Lamar if he'd ever take the super soldier serum, you know, if he'd be worried about the consequences or the changes. And Lamar says, basically tells John Walker that it would enhance him, him specifically, John Walker, in great ways because of, you know, how good he is at making decisions in the battlefield. And John... pretty much acknowledges that he's done some shitty things and says that he thought being Captain America would be a chance to do something right. But Lamar says that they could have saved a lot more people though if they had the serum back when they were in combat. And you can tell this you know, influences John's John Walker's decision. And so later on we see Sarah, Sam's sister, she gets a call from Carly, and Carly basically threatens her and her sons.
Actually, really quick before we move on to that scene, one of the things that I kind of noticed, like click right there in that scene at the food court, was that like a little kid came up to this kid, this guy, what is it, John Walker. To ask for his autograph, right? And like it kind of took me back a little bit to that scene on the, when they were in the, I guess in the little alleyway, when they were kind of planning, you know, going to see Carly and everything. I don't know if you kind of noticed it. There was like people in the back, like there was just like one person or two people kind of taking pictures of them because they were kind of like recognizing it. And it kind of like, I guess a little bit of foreshadowing to what's going to happen later on, right? Kind of start noticing it little by little how people are kind of noticing their movements. They might not be like everybody's following them, but we kind of start seeing that they're not just these people that everybody's kind of like, oh, there they go. Like, oh, there's the Falcon. Oh, there's, you know, Captain America or whatever, you know, they're actually going up to them and they're actually recognizing them. So I thought it was kind of interesting how, even though it's very low key right now, people notice them. Like people start like taking pictures. They're famous in a sense. So yeah, like I started kind of noticing how they were planting it a little bit, and it was kind of like a little bit of foreshadowing. Of course, it was going to be magnified later on, but
No, I didn't notice the people in the background, but yeah, there is. That's a good point. There is a kid that comes up to him and asks for an autograph. So yeah, they're obviously recognizable figures that would draw attention. That's a good point. that Franco made. I didn't notice any of that. But yeah, it does come into play later on. So then, so yeah, Sarah's talking to Carly, and she assures her that Sam is not working for John Walker, and Carly tells Sarah to pass on some coordinates to Sam to set up a meeting, so that Sam knows, you know, how serious she's being with her threat and stuff. And so later on, Sam's in a panic. You know, he's telling Sarah to take the boys and just, you know, head out to use cash wherever they go. And, you know, he says he gets instructions to go alone, but Bucky insists on going along with him. And so they meet up with Carly on some rooftop, and Carly says,
real fast, I was really surprised that Carly took this tactic. Yeah. And then with that too, not only did she call up Sarah to try to like show the severity of what she's trying to do, but to also threaten Sarah. I was just like, oh my, and by virtue of which threatened Sam, I was just mm-hmm. like, oh, this is going south for Carly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I guess it's debatable about whether or not she actually would have done it, or if she could have done it.
That was just a means to an end.
Yeah, if it was just a means to an end. Yeah, just to like give her some leverage, you know.
Right.
A squeeze on Sam, so to speak. And when she's talking to him, she basically says that she wants him to join her, or to just let her go, and so she can do what she's got to do. And that's right. When Sharon sends word that John Walker is on the move, and that he's possibly going into a trap, because she says he either found them or they found him, because, you know, he's moving in, so whatever, trap, right? And it actually is a trap, because we know from Carly's last scene that she wants to separate them so that she can get John killed. So Sam and Bucky, they basically throw Carly down, and then they run off to go see what John's up to. And Carly runs after them to try to stop them. And so John Walker and Lamar, they get to the hideout, and they, at some point, they separate. We see that Lamar is captured and tied up, and John's searching for him, and he fights one of the flag smashers, and he throws the shield, and it goes through the wall, sort of. And I think that's supposed to be our clue, like with Isaiah Bradley from the second episode. It's supposed to be our clue that he might have already taken the serum, right? Mm-hmm. And then that's when Sam comes in, and he finds John Walker throwing this dude around like a rag doll. And he even bends a metal bar with his bare hands. And Sam's like, what did you do? And John Walker's like, forget it. They have Lamar. You know, we need to go find him. So they go looking for him. And Lamar cuts through his zip ties while the others are fighting off another group of flag smashers. And Carly's about to run and stab John Walker when Lamar saves him. He pushes her out of the way, and she turns and she punches him like really hard, throwing him against a column, and his back hits it. And I don't know which was the killing blow. Maybe both. She hit him really hard, but he's got body armor.
It looked like the way his neck bent. Oh, okay. It was like, oh dear. He's not coming back from this.
Yeah. I don't know why Franco's so amused by
it. I know, Franco. Was it the way I said it?
Yeah. It's because it kind of like, because I'm kind of visualizing in my, kind of like in my head, because uh-huh. Yeah, like the way he kind of like, I guess you can kind of, I guess, see it, how his head just kind of hits the like the pillar.
Mm. And, yeah.
And then I guess just putting your words where you're like, oh, he's not coming back from this. So.
Yeah. Way to undersell it. Oh, no. Sorry. I was just like, oh, no. No, but like even earlier too, when you see them kind of beating him and he's tied up and he's just like coughing by himself, even that little scene was like, oh no, Lamar.
Yeah. No, well, watching this the second time, when she first punches him, I thought like, oh man, that could have been the killing blow, like probably crush his chest. But I mean, he's wearing body armor, so I don't know. But it looks really bad the way she punches him. And then
that's
the thing. Go for it.
Yeah, but you know what? It was I don't know. It was strangely, like, I don't want to say good, but it was. I'm trying to look for the right word.
Arousing.
Like, you kind of get lost in this kind of world where I have forgotten about it too, mm-hmm. until like you see Lamar just kind of like, you know, unfortunately die, mm-hmm. that you're like, oh shit, that's right. Like, you're fighting these super soldiers and Lamar's still human. Like, even John Walker for a while, like he was human before he took the serum or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like I got lost within the show or within the story that I forgot that they had no powers.
Yeah.
Until mm-hmm. then. So when this happened, it was kind of like a reality check too, where I was just kind of like, oh shit, that's right. Like, this is serious stuff. This is not just kind of like, you know, superheroes against superheroes, you know? So,
yeah.
So it was kind of a reality check, like a sad reality check, but it was still kind of like, okay, like, you're right. Like, you know, a lot of shit's going to go down.
Yeah. And I guess earlier from when they were fighting the Dora Milaje, you can tell these guys are kind of in over their head because they're in this world full of these really powerful beings. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely wasn't expecting him to die. That was intense. Yeah. I was
just like, damn.
But yeah, so John Walker, he pulls free of the face flag smashers, and he goes and he checks on Lamar and
flag smashers take off.
They take off, man. They're out of there.
Curly too.
Yeah, I guess they would. No, well, they did intend to kill John Walker at least, but I guess just killing Lamar kind of was just like, oh shit. So they get out of there.
Yeah.
And yeah, John, he's just like, the music just like intensifies. It's just like this long tone. This ring kind of sound, and he runs after them, and he. Well, he chases down the only, pretty much the only one that he sees when he runs out the window. Go for it.
One of Carly's friends, yeah. And it's like, I already knew it was going to happen. Like, not so much misplaced anger, right. But he's going to put his anger somewhere.
Yeah, it's just going to take it out.
And it's
going
to be
guy.
A flag smasher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, oh no.
And
he's going to do to him what he wants to do to Carly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He pretty much just grabs the first flag smasher that he can find, and he's, you know, beating the shit out of this guy. Well, throwing the shield at him, knocking him down, and just like demanding to know where Carly is.
Which leads to a fountain.
Yeah,
in public.
Yeah, they're in a like a town square kind of, and I don't know if it's a fountain, but it's just definitely a monument and a big tourist attraction, arguably. And so there's a big crowd around watching
with phones.
Watching him just pummel this guy, and he gets the shield and he raises it over his head and he brings it down on this guy. His, I think it's implied that it's his head, right?
It's Nick, yeah. And repeatedly, well, the thing is, before he repeatedly did that, the flag smasher was like, it wasn't me, it wasn't me.
And he's
trying to imply like he's not the one that hurt Lamar.
Exactly, it wasn't him. He's not resisting, he's not trying to fight back, he's unarmed. It's just all sorts of bad stuff.
It's so dark.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the whole crowd watches in horror.
Mm-hmm.
And over to, like, the far left or something, there's Carly watching in horror herself.
She sees it. Sam and Bucky also run up in time to see it. And John Walker just kind of just pauses. And he's just looking around. And he doesn't even look remorseful, but he's just kind of looking around. Mm-mm. Very cold and unfeeling, you know, catching his breath. And he's holding a blood splattered shield, and that's when we cut the credits.
And that's where they end it.
Yeah.
So dark.
And it's just and it reminded me in Civil War, Captain America does the same thing where he raises the shield above his head when he's fighting Iron Man, and it does look like he's gonna, I guess, hit Iron Man in the head with it. And because even in the comic books, there is an issue where Captain America decapitates a vampire with the shield, and so in Civil War when he did that, I was like, oh shit, is he gonna take his head off? And he didn't. he strategically hits the arc reactor, powering down Tony's suit. And even then, when he's leaving, he gives up the shield because he feels like he doesn't deserve it because he used it in anger and or in such a violent way, a brutal way.
And that he almost killed his friend. Yeah.
Well, I don't think he could have killed him. But
not that he was going to, but...
He definitely used it in a way that was kind of malicious, yeah.
Yeah.
And so even after that, he gave up the shield. And so in the comics, I read somewhere that the government takes the shield from away from John Walker after they realize that he's crazy, and that's when they give it to Sam. So I don't know if that's what's going to happen here or if Sam's still going to take it back somehow. That'd be kind of cool. And then, but yeah, I guess after this, John Walker's probably just going to go and become a cop or something. And, you know.
Oh, we're not done with him yet. You know we're not.
No, we're not. Like, I don't know. I think he's going to go rogue or something.
Yeah.
Because they're probably going to try to... separate from him, and you know, because it's a bad image to keep him on there, and yeah, he's gonna do vigilante justice, sort of.
Yeah. Oh no, he's still going after Carly.
Yeah.
The thing is, yeah. Oh no, yeah, we're totally still stuck with John Walker and Carly till episode 6. The thing is, too, after this episode. And I'm sure she didn't mean to kill Lamar, but there was enough to happen the past two episodes where I'm like, I'm not rooting for, like, I kind of want John Walker and Carly gone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not rooting for Carly anymore in a way. Like, you know, I was totally sympathetic and saw where her and the Flag Smashers were coming from, but I guess she's done enough things the past two episodes where I'm like, yeah. You can leave now.
Exactly. She's just, she has a good cause.
I mean, and the actors, real fast. And the actors play these characters really well. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, as far as what we are seeing with the characters, it's like, I want Carly gone. I want John Walker gone.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've been seeing a lot of posts that Wyatt Russell has been receiving death threats.
Oh no.
Because of his betrayal of John Walker. Yeah.
One of them.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
Hate mail. Oh, hey, I'm one of them. In
hate mail. Oh, you are?
Wow. Don't give him death threats.
And give him one for me, no, Franco.
Mail. Not death threats.
Tell him I'm coming for him.
Just shut up, Chris. Listeners, we do not endorse death threats.
Oh, yeah. No, not to anyone. yeah. But no, he's doing a really good job making this character really unlikable. And
Oh, go ahead.
Oh no! Yeah, I was gonna say the actress playing Carly is doing a good job, making us kind of feel torn about whether or not she's a good character because she's doing bad things, but she's not.
Is it a
bad
means to an
person.
End?
Yeah. So it's kind of she's doing a good job too, where it's kind of making it a gray area. So what were you gonna say, Franco?
No, it's just that like I mean they're doing such a good job at like. Playing those evil characters, I don't know. It's kind of interesting because, like you guys were saying about, you know, that John Walker. How I guess I don't know. I don't know how I feel about him going forward, in the sense that, I mean, I'm guessing we might get like season two of this show. I don't know. He might be one of those characters that just kind of carry over. Or carries over as a kind of like we were saying, like a vigilante or something.
Right.
I don't know how that's gonna happen. But yeah, I mean, you know, overall, like I mean, I'm liking what I'm seeing so far from just everything that they're playing, like the story and everything. So, so it'll be interesting to see what they're gonna do with that character.
Yeah, exactly. Do you guys think Zemo's gonna come back? Do you think we've seen the last of him?
No. Yeah, we're definitely gonna see Zemo again.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
I don't know how else he could play into the story though. I mean, I guess the Dora Milaje are still gonna go after him, but I don't know in terms of the mission. I don't know if or when he'll pop back up.
Well, we still don't know what Sharon's agenda is too. So you never know if by for some reason through Sharon we see Zemo again.
True. Maybe the power broker will know that Zemo killed Nangle, the scientist guy, or Dr. Nagel.
Sorry. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So he might go after him. Yeah.
That's yeah. True. Very curious to see if we have to wait till episode 6 to see who the power broker is.
Well, I kind of
although I think we're an episode or two away from that. So
yeah, exactly. So it was 2 episodes left. But I did read somewhere the confirmation that it is going to be a big name actor who is going to be playing the power broker. But that they said that it's pretty much just going to be just here in this series, that it's not going to extend over into the movies. But I don't know. Oh. I would say never say never. I think they might, if they figure out a way to bring him back or him or her back. Confirmation that it's a big name.
So cool.
Pretty exciting.
I'm curious.
Yep. Yeah, me too. Because, and it's hard to think of also because I was just like, man, anyone you can think of has pretty much already been in the MCU, you know? Like the other
There's so many.
The other day I was watching Godzilla versus Kong, and I was like, oh, Rebecca Hall's really good. I wonder if she'll be in the MCU. But yeah, she's in Iron Man 3 as like a throwaway character. I think she died in it too, so she's never coming back.
So, oh man,
yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the guy Brian Tyree Henry, also he's gonna be in the Eternals. So yeah, I mean, everyone's already in, so I don't know who's left that hasn't been inducted into the MCU.
I was ready to say Tom Hanks, but I don't think he's gonna be the power broker.
No, you don't think so?
No,
that'd be interesting.
No, not that'd be interesting for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess my point. Well, actually, you know who I could see being the power broker and maybe eventually being brought into the MCU. And I don't know if you guys like him or not. But John Travolta.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. No, and I say that because he has been doing TV projects lately.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that's why.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm less excited about that one. but if you're okay, right,
yeah, I know. We'll just see. Then, I know. We'll just see who it is. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully we won't have to wait till the last episode because that would be kind of suck just for this actor to just do the one episode. Like,
true.
I don't know.
True.
But yeah, I'm excited for that. We'll see who it is and see what happens with the rest of these characters. It's good stuff, man.
Yeah. We just need to keep going. Like, I can't, like, it was such a somber note that last episode ended on. I need to just, I really wish I could just binge this to just get closure on everything.
Yeah. In this case, yeah, it would be really nice to see what happens next. Yeah, I'm excited. Thanks to you guys for doing this. No thanks to Mitzi, who's enjoying a birthday dinner with her little sister. You guys want to do any shout-outs before we go?
Go ahead, Franco.
Well, to my man, George.
Oh, yeah.
My man, George.
Except one. I hope he's doing well. Shout-out to George. Mm-hmm. Not Mitzi. Just not, George.
Nope. Yeah. Not Mitzi. I wanted to shout out to Mitzi.
Okay.
Shout out to Mitzi. Shout out to Franco students because Franco's being mean.
Yeah.
I'm teasing. Yeah. And yeah, shout out to the listeners. I really hope you guys are still with us right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hopefully you stuck around this long. But yeah, thanks everyone, and we'll see you next time. All right. Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening.